On this episode, we head to Universal Orlando Resort and review Finnegan's Bar and Grill at Universal Studios. Today is January 4th, 2022, and this is episode 423 of the Main Street Magic Podcast.
Jeremy and Rhonda are more than a little fond of Disney World, so they made this podcast to share it all with you. Reports and resorts, top 10 lists of all sorts, Main Street Magic's bringing it home for you.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Main Street Magic. I am your host, Jeremy Stein, and I'm joined by my lovely wife, Rhonda.
Hey, guys.
Make sure you check us out on the web at mainstmagic.com, as well as follow on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at mainstmagic. If you've not done so already, head out to Facebook and search for the Main Street Magic community and ask to join. And then if you hit that subscribe button, you're going to get brand new episodes every Tuesday and Friday. But if you want even more content, including in-park, resort, at-home live streams, discounts on merchandise, and a whole lot more, visit wonderlandcrew.com and check out our Patreon group. And as you look ahead to 2022 and even 2023 and are planning your next vacation at Disney or Universal, maybe looking to go on a cruise or pretty much travel anywhere else in the world, head to msmears.com and learn more about our wonderful travel partner, Melissa Pilgrim, with Ears of Experience.
And don't forget, that does not cost you anything.
Correct. Yeah. It's a very misconception a lot of times, especially with the way that Disney and stuff runs, is people think that it's going to cost you all this extra money, and it does not. Nope. So highly recommend. It will make your trip, especially with everything still kind of going on and all mm-hmm. the changes recently. I think having a travel agent planner is just an absolute must.
And we use her.
We do. We use her and, you know, every single time. So even if I know where we're going and what we're doing, we still go through her because they'll also always make sure that you're getting the best rate,
yep.
Especially at Disney. And if prices or rates drop when discounts come out, they'll take care of all that for you as well.
Yes.
So today we're talking Finnegan's Bar and Grill over at Universal Studios in Universal Orlando Resort. One thing I think we'll end up doing a lot more this year is more dining at Universal. We mm-hmm. really haven't done a ton in the parks, especially when it comes to quick service, actually. There's a lot of little quick service spots mm-hmm. throughout islands and Universal Studios that I want to try. But we were there last weekend. We went down on January 1st.
We did.
Got up that morning a little bit later than normal because we were out New Year's Eve for quite a bit.
Yeah.
Which is so unlike us because, you know, we're normally like up at 7, leaving the house by maybe 7:38, at the parks by 10. And so it was kind of nice to just get up, and we left here about 10:30. Kaylin stayed back and stayed with a friend, and then we took Lacey, and then, of course, our friend Tina and her daughter Cassidy came along, stayed a night at Dockside.
Yes.
And we just wanted to go hit the parks and take advantage of Express Pass.
Yeah.
It was the last weekend for the holiday stuff.
Yes.
And so we really wanted to see the parade again. Mm-hmm. So
Tina, I guess, really enjoyed that.
Yes, she did. She did. And it was so, I love seeing it again.
Yes.
Like I next year we'll watch that multiple times. I think I would go specifically just for that. We'll run us through kind of the evening because we had zero plans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, we had zero plans for this whole trip.
Yeah.
So we had definitely had zero plans for dinner, and we were waiting on the parade.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So we got down there and we checked into Dockside and hung out there for a little bit, hoping our room would be ready so we could drop our stuff off, even though we did put it with the luggage people.
Yeah.
So.
And I got to say, we went and we hung out at the little pool bar there and grabbed a drink. And I got to say, Dockside, that little pool bar there is probably one of my favorite resort pool bars between Disney or Universal.
Really?
Yeah. Well, they have wonderful. I love the open air. I love the concept there. It's a really great place to lounge.
Right.
It's actually a really nice pool just to kind of sit by. But they have a ton of mixed cocktails.
Yeah.
And like a lot of the Universal resorts, what I love is here you can do a souvenir drink mm-hmm. in one of these mixed cocktails for $14. You keep your little plastic souvenir glass, and refills of anything is $11.
Yep.
So pretty good deal, actually. And yeah, they're just inventive drinks. There's a lot of different ones.
Mm-hmm.
I had like a grapefruit cranberry holiday special drink.
Okay.
So I really, really recommend, like, I would actually jump to this pool and pool bar. Shockingly, from some of the other places.
Seriously.
I would. I like this one.
Okay.
I mean, not if I was at like Sapphire Falls. That's the best to me on Universal property. That is my favorite pool and pool bar area, Sapphire Falls.
Okay. But we haven't been to Hard Rock. We were at Portofino, but we didn't really go to the pool.
We did that night.
Did we?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a good spot. To be honest, I mean, Universal's doing things well. There, I think, you know, we kind of mentioned this on the last episode. I think things will be a bit different this year with a lot of the raising costs of Disney resorts specifically, where, you know, I mean, we, the two bedroom here pretty much last minute on a Saturday night on New Year's Day, all in was $145.
Mm-hmm.
And the price dropped by about 20 or 30 the next night, that Sunday night. Looking ahead, we were looking at some random weekends. Prices are definitely going up at Universal as well.
Yeah.
I was seeing the same room in the low 200s.
Okay.
So, you know, it'll be interesting to kind of see how we navigate a lot of the rest of this year based on a Disney resort, a Universal resort, an off property, maybe an Airbnb or something. Who knows? But anyway, back to Finnegan's in the parade and us deciding to eat here.
Okay. So we got there and we rode some rides. And then we were getting a drink where we always get a drink at Finnegan's bar. And we usually see Jan. And she was not there, but we were standing there waiting for the parade. And we're standing by the trash cans, of course. And
of course,
there is a sign that has all the food on there. Well, we haven't eaten. We were supposed to do the holiday booths, but we were hungry. The kids were hungry. And I was like, we were talking about eating at Finnegan's one time. And I was like, well, let me just go ask. Let me just turn around before the parade starts and go ask. So here's what's funny. He was like, the team member was like, I can get you in right now for the parade, like during the parade. And we're like, no, we want to watch the parade. So then afterwards, I think he said 7:15.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was like, excuse me. I was like, okay, that's fine. Let's do that. So we were done. The parade was done and we were just kind of standing there. And so I can't remember what time it was. I think it was about 15 to 20 minutes earlier.
Yeah.
And I was like, let me just go tell him we're ready. You know, who knows?
Yeah. He was going to let you walk right in earlier, pretty much. It wasn't New Year's Day. I mean, it was still semi-busy, I guess. But I was shocked at how uncrowded it was for being a New Year's Day.
Right.
And knowing what the whole Christmas and New Year's week looks like normally. I mean, we waited 30 minutes for Velocicoaster.
Yes.
So, yeah, it really wasn't bad. So we went ahead and asked about going in early. And, yeah, it wasn't a problem. And it was not very busy in there. One thing I do want to say, because I'm noticing a trend in a lot of the social media and Facebook groups is, and I know specifically at like Space 220, somebody said that they had this long wait and all, or they couldn't get in. And then when they finally got in, they got into the lounge and only like half the tables were filled and they were upset because they're thinking, well, why can't I sit at one of those open tables? There's still tons of staffing issues going on, you know, throughout both Disney, Universal. So just because a restaurant maybe says, hey, there's an hour wait, and then when you get in there, you notice half the tables are empty. Nobody's sitting at those tables because they don't have enough team members or cast members to wait on those tables.
Right.
So just something to be aware of. And again, please be patient. Please be kind to your team members and your cast members.
Mm-hmm.
We're all still going through a lot of stuff trying to get back out of this again. So just something I just wanted to kind of throw out there because I don't think people realize it. I totally get you walk into a place and you're like, I just waited an hour and it's only half full. I totally understand in your mind thinking, what the heck?
Yeah.
So again, just letting people know that.
Because I actually heard at one point they said how long it would be. And I mean, it was sad to me that the people were like, I see open tables right there.
Yeah.
Well, sorry.
You can go sit at it, but nobody's going to wait on you.
Right.
So that's on you. You have to go get your own food.
Yeah. But anyway, so so we went in and we were seated and by, you know, in the main dining area and by a window, door window, which was cool.
Yeah. How do you like the overall atmosphere in here? I mean, it's a, you know, modeled after British pub. I've never been to a real British pub.
Right. Me neither.
But
so I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
They do have live music, singing and
It's a real big benefit, I think, of this place. You know, Rose and Crown is so deceiving. And again, it's very comparable to Rose and Crown. Rose and Crown is so deceiving because when you walk into the bar area, you actually don't realize how much larger the seating area is in the back. And then, of course, they've got some outdoor dining on the water as well. This place, even if you walk into the walk-up bar, you can see it's very open and very large.
Yeah.
And there's a very large bar area, which is both, you know, walk-up, sit-at kind of bar, and then, of course, lounge style tables that are also served by the bar before it gets to the main dining room. And that's where there's a small stage with live music pretty much all day, which, as far as atmosphere right now, sets this off above a Rose and a Crown, which we miss. Of course, Carol Stein, the piano player, no relation, is not back in there yet. But that was always, it's just such a good atmosphere booster, I feel like. And so I love that they're doing that here. But yeah, everything else is very, very British pub-like, right?
Yeah, I would say so. Again, never been at one.
Yeah.
You know, but being at Rose and Crown and being at and Raglan Road, I would say it's very on par for the atmosphere and the
And that's the thing. I mean, even honestly, even our good friend Gary, who lives overseas there in Scotland, I mean, he's even come in, of course, to Rose and Crown and said that it is a very authentic look and feel.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that a lot of these are kind of Americanized a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think especially when we get to the food, which we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I will preface this with saying this is our experience on Saturday night, January 1st. Around 7 o'clock, right? I'm not saying that this is anybody else's experience. I'm not saying this is standard. In fact, I was talking to John Self, of one of our friends who's a writer and a blogger for many sites and gets lots of reports. And he said he has been hearing recently that lunch and all during the week here is on point, very, very good. He has been seeing some reports that evenings on the weekend are struggling a little bit. So again, this is our experience. This is not mean this is what this place is always like.
Correct.
And why do I say that? Because this was not a good experience.
Did not like it.
Yeah.
The experience wasn't bad. Just you didn't like any of the food.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't mean to say experience as in our waitress was wonderful. Yeah. The atmosphere was wonderful. Yep. The company was wonderful.
Yep.
Food awful. So let me preface by saying that, I guess. Why don't you go ahead and talk about our two appetizers, what we got, and then we can expand a little bit on those.
Okay. Well, of course, we're working, so we look at the starters, and there's a Scotch egg, excuse me, for $10.95. It is gluten-friendly. It is a hard-boiled eggs wrapped in pork sausage, dusted with breadcrumbs and fried, served with apple beet salad and a mustard sauce. We also got the Guinness Warm Three cheese dip for $9.95. It is served with fresh baked soft pretzels and a tangy mustard sauce.
Comes with two pretzels. You can get additional pretzels at $2
mm-hmm.
each.
And we
got a third one because there were five of us. Start with your thoughts on these.
The Scotch egg, I actually thought was pretty good because it, I know we've even talked about this with Rose and Crown, that, and I don't know if they're hard boiling them just because of, like, you don't want anybody to get sick situation.
Yeah, and you know, and I was thinking that this morning, and that's almost always been my excuse for them cooking them this way, except for the fact that you can then go anywhere and get a runny egg on a burger, you know, like. So I don't think it has anything to do with.
But Gary has said that a Scotch egg is supposed to not be.
It should be a soft. Boiled. Yeah, it should be basically a soft boiled egg inside. Now, what I think a lot of these situations is that the care just isn't being taken, where they're basically just, maybe they are soft boiling the eggs. By the time they wrap them in sausage and the breadcrumbs and deep fry them, it's then overcooking the inside. I don't think that was the case here because...
No, this was very hard-boiled.
And the egg was cold still. The egg was cold inside.
Yeah.
So I think it was completely a hard-boiled egg. They had a very, very thin layer of sausage and breadcrumb, which actually didn't taste bad.
Right.
So it was a quick flash fry. It did not even heat up the inside of the egg at all. So you have this weird balance of cold egg and hot sausage that just wasn't good.
I didn't think it was bad because I like hard boiled eggs.
Of course. Of course.
And like Jeremy said, the pork sausage. So, and I love a deviled egg. So I didn't hate it, but I can understand your thoughts and I can understand.
Yeah. And then, well, I mean, and then, you know, you have this thing where I think they were trying to almost like up the presentation by putting this apple beet salad in the middle. That was completely unnecessary. I don't think it went. I'm not a huge beet fan.
Yeah.
But it just, I didn't think it served any purpose. It wasn't like a, to me, it didn't feel like it was like a palate cleanser, or it had some sort of added benefit where you took a bite of the scotch egg and you took a bite of that salad.
No, I wouldn't.
So not for me. I didn't try the mustard sauce, of course, because I don't like
mustard. And I thought it was good.
Yeah. So again, in our experience this time, I just thought this was not good, and I would not order this again unless I could be guaranteed it was done better. Because again, I did think that the sausage flavor was good.
Okay.
But it just didn't work with everything else. The Guinness warm three cheese dip, the pretzels were great. I mean, they're soft pretzels.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they were done pretzel sticks. They were perfectly fine, well salted. The cheese dip.
So now it makes sense reading the Guinness because, all right, so the picture that I'm sure Jeremy will post under this episode.
Yeah.
It is dark.
Yeah.
And it is very
thick.
Thick. And it's, for lack of a better term, it doesn't look like cheese.
No.
It looks more like a sauce, like a mustard sauce or something.
And it was thick and kind of gelatinous a bit. And I understand it's got Guinness in it, but to me, it tasted like old stale beer.
Everybody
agreed. I mean, like Lacey took a bite and was like,
"It tastes like beer."
Yeah, she's like, "This just tastes like beer."
Yeah, I don't know what stale beer tastes like because I haven't
this
drank beer in probably.
But it has that very hop. It had that very hoppiness, but like not in a good way, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. So again, pretzel's good. That's going to be kind of hard to ruin, I feel like, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
The dip, I mean, I wouldn't get this again unless somebody
Correct.
Said it was fixed and done properly.
I mean, and who knows? Like, you know, John was saying, you know, it's at lunch. Well, maybe they make this at lunch and it sits
completely.
In this warmer
yeah.
and if then it just gets darker and
yep.
thicker
yep.
and more stale. And then...
And that 100% could be... The experience
yeah.
is that you're right. They're making it fresh for lunch. It's sitting in one of those big, almost like crock pots, staying warm. They're just taking a ladle, scooping it out. And during the course of the day, you know, if enough people don't order it, they're not remaking it or redoing whatever.
Right.
But again, this to me just felt absolutely flat.
Yeah.
Next, I'll just move ahead real quick to what both of the kids got because they went with the Dublin chicken sandwich, which normally, this is $15.95. Which is normally marinated grilled chicken breast with aged cheddar cheese and apple smoked bacon on a toasted bun with lettuce, tomato, and pickle. Now, both Lacey and Cassidy wanted this, but all they wanted was chicken
and bun.
And bun.
Mm-hmm.
Meat and bun, not even cheese, nothing.
Right.
So $16 for a Chick-fil-A sandwich, in a sense. This actually, for me, because I took a bite of hers,
was the
best thing that I would eat here. Plain chicken on a bun
mm-hmm.
was the best thing that I would eat. I thought it was actually well done chicken. It was tender inside. I imagine that having it with the cheddar cheese, the smoked bacon, and for me, just the lettuce, no, you know, no tomato or pickle. I think this would have been a very good theme park chicken sandwich.
Okay.
I don't know that if I would end up classifying it as a sit down theme park sandwich as opposed to going to like a Burger Digs or, you know, go back to Cosmic Rays. That has
right.
a chicken sandwich. I think it was a little bit on that level and not, again, in a bad way. Just, you know, I mean, it's chicken. It's a chicken
right.
sandwich.
Right.
So that I actually did not think was too, too bad. In the sandwiches, they also have a web burger that literally has these big crispy potato onion web on top, which is also something
cool.
they serve as an appetizer. They've got a fried codfish sandwich. They've got a half pound burger, pretty standard burger there. Tina had asked about the Reuben. Because she wanted a sandwich, and I believe it was the pickle that she did not want, or it may have been the dressing.
I think it
was something
was
mixed in with the
$1,000 dressing. I think
Thousand Island dressing.
Sorry, yes. Thousand Island dressing was mixed in with the shaved cabbage.
That's what it was.
And she didn't want that.
Yeah.
And
because the way that it's worded, it says tender corned beef, fresh shaved cabbage, Thousand Island dressing, pickle, Swiss cheese, grilled on fresh marble rye. So yes, when she said basically, I don't want the Thousand Island, they said it's already mixed in, right, which turns that into a slaw.
Right.
It's kind of how it went, right? Right. So what did she decide to get instead?
So then she ended up doing the Tipperary corned beef sandwich for $16.95, which was fresh baked pretzel roll with a warm corned beef topped with sauteed onions, Swiss cheese, lettuce, tomato, and a pickle. And I think she did opt to switch out Swiss cheese because I don't think she loves that as mm-hmm. much as I think she got another one. I don't remember if it was American or whatever. But anyways, she liked her sandwich. She thought it was very good.
Yeah, she enjoyed it.
Yeah.
All sandwiches come with your choice of either a wedge fries or side salad.
Mm-hmm.
The girls had, everybody got wedge fries.
Yep.
We'll talk about them in just a bit, actually, because mm-hmm. let's move on to under Finnegan's favorites.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is, you know, kind of Irish, British pub and all. So under the favorites, you have things like bangers and mash. You've got a beef tenderloin, pot pie, Guinness beef stew. There's just chicken, country cork corned beef and cabbage. They do have a Beyond vegan shepherd's pie,
mm-hmm.
but you opted for the regular shepherd's pie because I would put, if somebody was like, all right, name two items that if they're on a menu somewhere, Rhonda will order, and it would be shepherd's pie and shrimp and grits.
Yes.
Like anywhere we go that has either of those.
Yes.
And shrimp and grits you find much more often, of course.
Right.
You're not really finding shepherd's pie outside of a British
right.
or Irish pub place, but you get it every time.
Yeah.
We make it at home a couple times a year.
Yeah.
Definitely one of your favorites and, yes. and an absolute classic comfort food.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. So, all right, shepherd's pie.
Yeah. It's $17.95. It is seasoned ground beef and mushroom with a crust of potatoes and cheddar cheese served with root cellar vegetables. I thought it was good. I didn't hate it. I love the mashed potatoes and the cheese. I kind of like that it did overpower the meat because it was like more... And there was I felt like there was a thin layer of the meat, and then there was some vegetables in with that. The root cellar vegetables, that was weird because it was like this cabbage and yeah. then these big chunks of carrots with some white sauce poured on top that I have no idea gross. What it was. But I mean, I didn't think it was bad, but they weren't very warm.
I love you very, very much.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you are always a very, very positive person. And I would like to think we are both very positive people who have very positive outlooks on most of our theme park
yeah.
discussions and reviews.
You're a little bit more honest, but
I think you're being way too nice.
Well, I mean, remember, I'm not a food person. I don't cook.
But you are. And you've had good shepherd's pie. And this is not this one that you had
yeah.
because our friend Adam Elmers had this not long ago during lunch and he said it was very enjoyable. He sent me a picture of his, the top all looked perfectly golden brown around. The one you got was like one spot was really dark. Then one spot looked like it almost wasn't completely like cooked off. Another spot was like looked right. He had the same pitiful side of cabbage and carrot root mm-hmm. vegetable thing, which again, didn't go with it at all. I think this entire dish was maybe an inch thick, as opposed to a lot of times you get a nice like inch and a half of mm-hmm. wonderful, it's almost like it has a gravy in it when you cook down the meat with the vegetables and add, you know, some seasonings and all. This was very dry and plain. It was just like ground beef cooked.
Right.
And you maybe had a half inch of meat if you were lucky and maybe a half inch of whipped potato on top. Everything was bland.
Yeah.
This wasn't a good dish and I appreciate you saying it was and it could have been good to you.
Yeah, I mean it wasn't bad.
But
I wasn't like I don't want to eat anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know how you got through half of it, to be honest. Okay. Again, that's my opinion. That's my opinion. Yes, you probably were, and that's my opinion. And, you know, who's to say somebody who's never had shepherd's pie before and thinks, you know what, I'd like to try this, might think it's really good. It's one of those where I think, you know, and it's not always fair to play the comparison game, but it's hard not to when you've have other shepherd's pie, you know, whether at home or at a restaurant that are very good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I just think it just fell so flat there and on the flavor, on the presentation, you know, same with that apple beet salad. They're just throwing it in there because I felt like they thought they had to. They're just throwing some overcooked boiled cabbage and
cream sauce.
Then a couple chunks of giant carrot. Like,
we're talking like an
inch and a half, 2 inch. And then the carrot pieces weren't even all like uniform. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, and not seasoned whatsoever, except for whatever this weird little kind of sauce drizzle thing was.
Right.
You took half of it back to the room because we did have a microwave. Right. And then you wanted to take it home the next day. And I was like, you're not bringing that home. There is no need for you to bring this thing home.
Well, first of all,
I would have had to sit in a car for several hours. Yeah. Who knows what that would have smelled like when we got back in.
I know. I'll be honest, I didn't think it was bad, but it's not something that I loved that I would go back and get again.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that I wouldn't tell you, oh my gosh, don't order this.
Right.
But I would say be prepared if you order it that this is, I can definitely say this is my least favorite shepherd's pie.
Yeah. That's fair.
I mean, yeah.
And again, you know, I'm going to talk about the Irish fish and chips for $19.95. Didn't realize that they were that much. I wouldn't tell anyone to not order any of this stuff. If you want to order it, order it. Again, we're going off our specific night because I have a feeling a lot of people might come back and go, like Adam said, I had the shepherd's pie and it was great.
Right.
Okay. And it may have been. I'm not saying that, you're wrong because I didn't have that shepherd's pie. I had the one they served you, and I do think something was off that evening. So I ordered the Irish fish and chips, again, $19.95. This is North Atlantic fresh cod fish in ale batter with wedge fries, served with a side of malt vinegar and tartar sauce. Okay, that was my first thing. I understood you guys, the option for the sandwiches was wedge fries or that salad, right?
Right.
Says wedge fries.
Right.
And they came out, and they were okay, but that's what they were. They were small. Wedge fries, kind of like steak fries, but smaller.
Yeah, and they were seasoned.
Yeah, they were seasoned. This isn't chips. This isn't, you know, traditional Irish and British fish and chips, which is much more like a fry, a thick cut fry, you know, perfectly fried and crispy on the outside, nice and tender on the inside.
Right.
This was wedge fries. It says in the description, you're getting Irish fish and chips served with wedge fries.
Right.
So while the fries weren't that bad, this wasn't fish and chips.
Right.
This was fish and wedge fries. So that was very unauthentic to me.
Right.
You know, the fish was fine. It was lightly battered in a ale batter. I think one of the biggest problems across the board was lack of seasoning with all the meals.
Right.
Like this fish could have greatly benefited from some salt as soon as it came out of the fryer. And I think it would have changed it. I didn't even finish it. Like, you know, Lacey, who loves the fish and chips over at Yorkshire and Epcot, she took a bite and was like, yeah, it's okay, but Yorkshire is much, much better.
Yeah.
And I would agree.
Right.
And again, I feel bad playing the comparison game, but when I know that I can go to a walk up in Epcot and get a dish that is true and authentic, Gary and Claire
get
it and are like, yes, this is like fish and chips you would get. Over, you know, where we live. I'll never forget, we were on that elevator. I can't remember where it was, over on the Universal side. And maybe we were at Disney off property at Town Place when there was that British couple or family that was on the.
And they were talking
about fish and chips, and they're like, no, don't get them anywhere here. They're rubbish.
Yeah.
And then I said that to Gary, and he's like, yeah, a lot of times that's true, but Yorkshire is very authentic.
Yeah.
And so this just wasn't. To me, and serving it with wedge fries.
Didn't you even show Gary the picture? And he was
he even was like, that doesn't look good.
Right.
I mean, that was the thing is, you know, I posted these photos out to social media, and of course I said that it was not good. If I had just posted them and just said, what do you think of these food photos? I don't know what people would have said, but I mean, people were like, you know it can't be great when the photos look bad. Like, yeah. If you like even looking at it, just wasn't, you know, the first thing you eat with is your eyes. And so when they lay down in front of you, you know, a soggy off green cabbage and a dark big two chunks of carrot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's just, it becomes off putting at that point. So for me personally, this was a huge, huge letdown.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, the chicken sandwich wasn't too bad. It was probably the best thing we ate, which I think is a concern. I just, that was our night. And I would not tell people to not go. This is not a bad restaurant.
Yeah.
We had a bad meal.
Right.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of places that we could do a review and say, this was incredible. You should go there. And then somebody goes there and they go, we had a bad meal.
Right.
You know, so again, going back to staffing, you know, we don't know what's going on back in the kitchen.
Correct.
We don't know what adjustments they're having to make.
Right.
We did not say a word. I mean, you know, we're usually, unless there's something wrong.
Right.
We don't ever say anything or send stuff back. You know, I mean, the one time I think I remember sending something back was Monsieur Paul, when flat out the it was cooked incorrectly.
Right.
And that's the only reason we sent it back.
Correct.
This wasn't cooked. This was way overdone compared to like a medium rare. And so,
right.
You know, so and those nothing, types of
and,
things.
And that's why we didn't send anything back. Yeah. Nothing was cooked incorrectly.
Right.
Or any, I mean, maybe the scotch egg, but then again, you read and it says hard boiled.
Right. Yeah.
So
we don't know. And we are that type when the waitress comes back around. How is everything? Oh, it's great. Thank you. You know what I mean? Because there's no point in me going, all this food is garbage. Like, it's not going to help any. I'm not trying to get a free handout. But in the end, this wasn't a cheap meal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we had drinks. We had the food. We had the apps. I mean, we came out over $100 some dollars.
Yep.
You know, and so that part too, you're like, well, man, that's a lot of money for really not good food for us. So again, we will go back. You know, and I would like to go back for a lunch. I'm not doing that probably anytime soon. I would probably go back for a lunch or maybe sit in the bar lounge area and try some different stuff. Because it's so hard to tell. We could have said, this shepherd's pie is not to my liking. Will you do a new one? And the exact same thing could have come out, or something that was absolutely delicious could have come out. We don't know.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's, you know, and then it says in there wedge fries. I can't be like, hey, these aren't chips. These aren't proper chips. like, so, you know, I mean, it is what it is, but I'm very glad that we finally tried it.
Yeah.
Sometimes, as weird as it sounds, sometimes I think it's really good when we have a bad experience.
Okay.
Because I think it can, because I think we're able to shine light on some of these other things, you know? Yeah. I understand that we love theme parks. Mm-hmm. We love Disney. We love Universal. We love the team members and the cast members. You know, we love dining and visiting resorts. And yes, for the most part, we're very, very positive about them. So I can also understand where somebody sits back and goes, well, they just like everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and I don't want to ever get in that rut. So I want to be able to be honest and say when something just isn't good.
Yeah.
So
this was not good.
No, it was not good. And again, I've already gotten lots of great responses. John actually sent me a few articles that I was browsing through this morning, again, on people that have had wonderful responses. Somebody that had the Web Burger and it was very good. Somebody who had the full Dublin chicken sandwich and it was very good. You know,
awesome.
So something to think about. And this may be, in the end, this might be a great place to just go sit down and maybe you aren't getting the, you know, air quote, traditional fish and chips or shepherd's pie. You're just getting a good burger or a good chicken sandwich or something like that. You know what I mean? So we'll try this again. We'll give it another shot in the future. We definitely like to return to places. I think it's easier at Universal because there aren't nearly as many spots to dine.
Right.
You know, Disney, we always feel like, well, I don't really want to go give this place another chance when there's so many places we haven't tried. And I could see us going back and doing this for a lunch or something soon.
Okay.
So we wouldn't recommend having the meal that we ate, but I wouldn't not recommend the restaurant.
Right.
Right?
I mean, maybe again, do lunch.
And just search. Seriously, go out and just search for reviews of Finnegan's. And again, you know, we're certainly not the end all to be all of restaurant reviews.
Right.
There's a ton of wonderful bloggers and vloggers and podcasters out there doing the parks that might have completely different experiences. So gather as many as you can and make your own assumption on whether you would like to dine at a place like this or not moving forward. Well, thank you guys. I do want to hear from anybody who has dined here. Of course, we'll post this across social media. A great place to continue the conversation is in the Main Street Magic community on Facebook. So please go out and search for that and ask to join. We got a lot of good stuff coming up, especially opening weekend of Festival of the Arts, which I'm very, very excited for, including our first ever real Main Street Magic community meetup that Saturday of the opening weekend. So hoping to meet some of you out there. You can find that information in the Facebook group. As long as you're out there, hit that subscribe button. You get those brand new episodes every Tuesday and Friday. And as long as you're out there, would you please leave us a rating and review?
Because it helps our show grow.
That's all we've got. We'll see you real soon.
Jeremy and Rhonda are more than a little fond of Disney World, so they made this podcast to share it all with you. Reports and resorts, top 10 lists of all sorts, Main Street Magic's bringing it home for you.